Welcome, everybody. I wanted to invite you all to a brand new podcast series. I wanted to invite some of my closest mobile friends to rant and rave about what's happening in mobile technology. I wanted to introduce Serco. Serco, why don't you give us a little background around who you are?
Hi, yeah, sure. So, thanks, Joey. My name's Serco. I come from the film world in the be in initially, like back in the day. Went to film school and worked in the industry for, man, about almost 15 years, in various capacities, mostly content creation, motion pictures, photography, all that good stuff, producing, directing, and kind of made a transition over to tech a handful of years ago. Worked with you, Joey, MakerBot for a few years, which was pretty dope. Yeah, now I work in content distribution.
Cool. And what current phone are you rocking in your pocket today?
Most of the time, it's the iPhone XS Max. I
Cool.
don't like
Cool.
that name. I really don't like saying that name, but that's what it is.
Yeah. Yes. This is true. This is true. Jonathan, why don't you give us a little background about yourself?
Sure, thank you. I'm Jonathan. I have worked in marketing and advertising basically for my whole career. A little brief stint on the startup side at the literal dawn of the consumerification of the internet in the mid-90s. But really been on the agency side up until kind of now, and I won't get into my transition, but still marketing, but on the brand side, which I'm very excited about. And my mobile sort of path is really a self-guided geeky point of interest. I've used many, many devices and for some reason retain them all as well. So I've got a pretty healthy drawer full of technological history, which is fun. And I am rocking the iPhone XS. These days, switched from the all Google universe not that long ago, I guess in September or October. I can't remember exactly when, but I've used pretty much everything through the years.
Yeah, I think it was a pretty big year for you in terms of what I would say giving into the Apple ecosystem this year with your family. The lock-in is it's tough to stay away from it.
It is substantial, yes.
The golden cradle.
Yeah.
Oh
Not
my God.
handcuffs,
It's
the cradle.
something else though, but yeah.
Yeah, so also I would say, all of us are pretty, early adopters. We were just reminiscing around when we first met. One of the reasons I wanted to start this podcast was we've been ranting and raving about mobile technology, mostly in an iMessage group for about the past couple of years together. And I'm like, well, we should really kind of expand this and let everyone else kind of hear our perspectives, since we've really been, on the cusp of all this technology. We all of us sort of met together whack back in the Nokia days when Nokia was leading camera phone technology, really pushing with devices. We were just reminiscing about MAMO and the Nokia 7 and 770 and 800, which were sort of like the first internet tablets. They had a web browser, keyboard, pretty interesting form factors. We all met back when there was an actual Nokia store in New York City and became friends and have really, always been talking about technology together. We all actually have had a work past. I worked at RGA with Jonathan for some time, worked on a lot of mobile app development while I was at RGA. And then I went on to work in the startup world and working on hardware and software ecosystem products. And we're at this pinnacle here where, smartphones have really reached their kind of peak, right? Like there's the growth is very stagnant. Everyone under the sun has them. There's not a big reason here or there to really jump to a new device. There's, camera phones have been coming out with new higher resolutions and some new tricks like portrait mode. But now we finally are sort of starting to see a little playground unfold, and really with the Samsung Fold and also this new Huawei device, which has just been announced at Mobile World Congress.
Excuse me, Joey, before you go there, what device are you rocking? You didn't
have I currently have a iPhone XS and I also have a Pixel 2 XL, partly because of the ecosystem lock with finding where my son or daughter is all over town.
You got to keep them honest, you know?
I actually just gave my Galaxy Note 8 to my mom. She actually has issues really with touch devices. Using a pen actually allows her to really use the device so much better than just having a, you know, finger tapping on a screen. And so and she actually, you know, really loves it. She's been, you know, drawing hearts and like just, you know, really kind of getting into it. It's been pretty amazing. Mom's 80 and it really helps. So the one thing that kind of blows my mind around the Samsung Fold is that they did not include S Pen technology for the tablet mode. The iPad Pro has really kind of, you know, pushed things. S Pens have a wonderful technology, you know, both on the Note and I've used it on some of their Windows tablets. So I think it's one thing that's kind of missing from the form factor.
Excuse me one sec, guys. Let's just kick off by saying that anything we say has nothing to do with our employers. These are all our own opinion. And whatever happens from now on has nothing to do with my employer, my current employer, or anyone we work for or have worked for.
All right. It's our own opinion. So just want to disclose.
Fair enough.
All right. So Circa, do you have any Apple stock is the question?
No. All right, not anymore.
There you go. All right, cool. So my thing of the Fold is, or just even this form factor is, it's very interesting. Samsung device is $1,980, which is kind of ridiculous. And then the proposed price of the Hawaii device is, isn't it like $2,600 or something?
Oh, yeah. The Huawei.
It's
out of control.
Yeah.
2,300 euros, 2,600 US dollars, maybe.
Yeah. So, I think we've all saw both devices. The Huawei device is super, you know, it's thinner, so it's a little bit sexier. It folds in an kind of different type of direction than the Samsung Fold. But I think the Samsung Fold, to me, when it's closed, is just almost inoperable. It looks like WebOS or something.
When the screen's off, I actually think it's pretty slick. Like I watched, there's some video, like without sound,
the animation.
And I watched. No, it's actually it's just like video. An ad.
Yeah, it's like an ad. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Yeah, but there's no.
They're all lined up. There's like three or four of them next to each other.
Exactly. And when the screen's off and it's just using like the, you know, sort of OLED, it looks pretty cool. It's when you turn it on and you're like, whoa, why is the screen only like 3/4 of the size? You know, kind of looks like a mistake almost. Yeah. I guess it's for like quick reference kind of stuff. Maybe you're supposed to, in their mind, use it as a primary sort of open thing. Whereas the Huawei like really just feels like, I haven't touched it obviously, but it looks like a phone and then you open it up and it's a tablet. It really does have more, I don't know, seeming duality to it rather than, I don't know what Samsung's going for, at least in my, you know, observations from afar.
Tech from China, man. Actually. Guys, let's not underestimate. They're coming fast. They're coming fierce. Huawei, I mean, if they ever get acceptance in the U.S. in terms of like legal rights to start selling hardware here, it's going to be a bloodbath. I think it's going to be really interesting. It's only a matter of time. I think in the next few years, they'll probably get the ability to start selling phones here.
Well, yeah, also, I mean, their computers are sold, just not their phones.
Yeah.
Also, the Huawei actually has 5G, of course, as well, of which, you know, 5G is really not even set from a standard perspective. There's multiple chipsets, and it's just way too early. I would say, you know, but I think it's like the concept, but they're actually going to be, you know, shipping them sometime in 2019. So it'd be very interesting. It also kind of reminds me, the Samsung one has a little reminiscence of like a Virtu to me, like that sidebar, you know, it's like a metal, you know, the hinge is very, I don't know, you know, it's like that platinum Virtu or something.
Doesn't Huawei make 5G base stations? So that's an advantage there.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, is that how they were able to get that in there? Interesting.
Like, yeah, the tech right off the bat having a 5G phone, whereas, like, Samsung's not going to have a 5G anything until, like, later this year.
Yeah.
I think that the thickness of the Samsung is actually much more reminiscent. Sorry. Yeah, it's much more reminiscent of, like, the old Scions, you know, like those, like, Mongo pocket computers. It's kind of crazy that it's that's what it is. I mean, although when you open it, obviously it's one screen. Which technologically is pretty sweet. I mean, you got to give them credit there. It's just the folded version of the Samsung. It just seems like kind of
looks like a joke. Yeah, the one other thing about the Huawei that looks kind of interesting too is they actually have a back screen too, sort of. On the front, you can kind of interact with it as if you would with any phone, but on the back, you get the same kind of phone experience, but then you also have selfies, right? So it's like they use the screen, and so it's almost like three screens from the demo that I saw.
Wow.
I didn't see that. I just saw that, the hump that's in there where the screen, when it folds under, that holds like the battery and the charge port. Mm-hmm. And it seems, the consideration there is strong. And there's like almost like the, Lenovo has that cool sort of bend. Mm-hmm. In their laptops, it looks like that, like a piece of jewelry almost.
Yeah. The cameras are in that mount as well.
It's pretty slick. I like that design a lot.
Yeah.
Well, it'll be interesting. I love how Apple throws out a patent for a foldable phone, like the next day after Samsung announced theirs, which is like,
I didn't even see that. Really?
No, you didn't see that.
I was like a strong troll, man. It was a nice, the day before Mobile World Congress.
Wow. Does it look cool? I need to look it up right now.
It didn't say much. It just literally had a quick little drawing or what they reported on.
Speaking of Apple, pencil sketch. Man, we were talking about this earlier, how, the Huawei, the foldable, what is it, the Mate 10, it has an iTunes app icon ripoff on the home screen.
I mean, it's so funny. Like, it's like Samsung or all those guys just haven't learned since Samsung ripped it off back in the Galaxy S3 or whatever the controversy was.
S1, the original, I think.
Or was it the S1? Yeah, I can't remember. I mean, there's so many lawsuits, so little time. Well, cool. Any other final thoughts on foldables? Are you guys excited about them? Or?
I think the technology of folding is definitely cool.
Definitely.
And, is clearly real. Just no one's going to buy these phones. I mean, it's $2,000 for a phone. It's really crazy. I mean, even like the top end, I know we're going to talk about the S10 a little bit, but like the, 1 terabyte version, which is also crazy. Mm-hmm. I think, that's pushing like almost $2,000 also, right? It's like $1,600, I think, which is, that's crazy money for a phone. I mean, I know they're pocket computers, but that's crazy.
Add 30% or 40% import tax for that Huawei phone if you want someone to smuggle one in for you. So then we're talking like $3,500.
That's crazy. Yeah, I guess the one other thing that would be kind of interesting, they haven't really got there yet. They have been revving on it, is Samsung DeX technology, right? So you got a desktop experience. Mm-hmm. You could see that, almost having plug it into some sort of keyboard and have a full PC type experience. It's kind of interesting.
Was that part of this though?
No. It's not. I'm just saying, you could see a logical extension of that, right?
Mm. I mean, I think that thing, and that's an old theme too, like in ultra mobile, PCs, certainly back in the era of time in which we all met. I mean, those things existed.
Yep.
And to your point, Serco, you did actually have to import some of those from Japan at the time.
The Galaxy Nexus, I paid $750 for that phone. And then 3 months later, it was available in the U.S. unlocked for like $350 through Google.
Oh, that's a tough one.
That was my year off iPhone. Instagram on Android. I took a year off Instagram to switch to a Galaxy Nexus for a year.
It's funny because like you look back and we used to do that all the time. We used to get these European imports because they were the things that were the future, right?
Yeah.
And now almost all of those type of, import shops are like almost practically gone,
Before the unification of 3G even, right? So you have like Euroband 3G, but 2.5G in the US, pay the premium to get the tech, but only get half of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's crazy. So for me, I use an iPhone and I do use an iPad with a pencil very regularly. It's in my part of my daily routine. If they can get that combo thing together on the Apple side, it's going to be interesting.
Definitely. iOS 13.
Well, cool. Well, why don't we move on and talk about camera phones for a little bit? There's been a few announcements since we are all sort of old school Nokia lovers. There's the Nokia N9, which has five cameras. It incorporates, I believe, the Light API and technologies, and they have, I think it's at least two black and white cameras, and then one or two other color cameras for depth. Of course, enlisted some professional photographers who take outdoor photos, and the quality, even after compressed from Instagram, looks pretty impressive. What do you guys think?
How do those work, actually? Does it image all at the same time, or do you choose a mode and then it picks which lenses to use?
I think it's taking it at the same time, and it's doing a little bit of post-processing. So depending on, and you have some potential really underlying sort of tweaks that you can do. They say that some of the photos actually take a little while to process. It's not real time. But gotcha. I do believe they do have a Light chip in the device itself.
I mean, looking at the photos from the link that you shared, I mean, two things that are pretty amazing. Like, this looks like it's actually an Android One device. This is like a mid-range phone with all this camera tech in it.
Right.
You know, not like a flagship level. But there's no, doesn't really look like there's a camera bump here. It's pretty clean on the back, which is also pretty amazing.
They also are labeling it PureView, which I think, you know, the last time I've really seen that, that brand was the Lumia. What was it? Was it the 800 or 900?
800 or 900, maybe.
Yeah, Circo and I went to the Lumia 800 opening. Remember Circo? They had all the demos with the super like dark.
Yeah.
I actually love that. That phone was chunky, but I still love that polycarbonate, like that body. That it was such a cool form factor to me.
It might have been the 1020, actually, the bright yellow one.
Yeah, you're right, the 1020. But they had a much bigger, it was like a 40 megapixel or
something.
It was
crazy,
like that,
yeah.
Which nobody does anymore, you know, at that level.
Yeah, that was right after Nokia was killed Mego in the N9.
The other part of that phone is it actually, you're right, it is sort of, it looks lower cost, but it actually seems to be close to it doesn't look like a flagship, but it looks more premium than the other lower cost phones that HMD has brought to the market.
That's pretty nice. Very good looking. Yeah, it's definitely really nice. It's got some sort of metallic sort of skin on it. Mm-hmm. Looking at the specs here, I mean, 6 gigs of RAM, 120 gigs of storage, waterproof, like it's not a slouchy device at all.
$699 is an awesome price.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot going on in this piece of hardware.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we'll talk about that on another podcast around sort of Android and affordability. It's there's a lot to like out there, a lot to choose from, I guess you would say.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
So speaking of flagships, the S10 series was announced this week. The most leaked phone in history. Everything was leaked through Samsung apps to just like everything. It was just wild. Pretty much, you know, have the iPhone playbook in terms of just like the XR. They have this S10e, which has the same camera technology. It's very similar to the XR in terms of what it has to offer, but it doesn't have things like the fingerprint sensor or as many cameras. When I say fingerprint sensor, I mean the in-display camera sensor.
Right,
fingerprint sensor. Yeah. So I'd say this. They also say that this fingerprint sensor is extremely fast and much different than some of the other sensors that are currently out on the market. So the three things that I wrote down that this phone has that they're making a statement on are the cameras. They've got, I believe, five. Is it five cameras?
One, two, I think three, it's actually four. Up to six.
Up to six.
Oh. Yeah.
Because there's depth selfie, and then all the things on the back.
Three in the back, and then two in the front. So that's five. Where's the sixth one?
One of them, I believe, has six cameras.
Huh.
Oh, interesting.
Oh, well, that's a fold, I think. I think the fold might have six.
Okay.
Oh, really? Cool part about it is it's got the wide angle, it's got the telephoto, and then it's got the, you know, core. And those are, you know, optical. And I think I don't think the wide angle is not optical stabilization, but the others are. This phone also is one of the first very large commercial phones with a fingerprint sensor technology for authentication. Everyone has been going to the notch in doing facial recognition. This kind of goes back to the fingerprint sensor, but it's hidden within display, which is pretty wild. Which also brings us to this new pinhole notch. Well, not even notch, but it's just the camera with a little space
Punch hole.
around it. Yeah,
Punch hole. Yeah.
punch hole. You're right. So, starting off, why don't we talk about cameras since we were just talking about on the Nokia N9? What do you guys think about the lineup? I'm assuming that Apple will probably come out with something very similar.
Yeah, I mean, I Samsung always does a really nice job. I have not used a Samsung phone in a couple of years, like as a, everyday kind of thing. I mean, the thing that they do though is they tend to oversaturate fair bit, like they add a little visual flair to their photos. So I'm sort of curious how that's really gonna pan out. I mean, they do take very nice pictures, and I think they do that because a lot of people find it very pleasing for the purpose of sharing anyway. So I guess we'll see.
The sample image that I saw actually looks more like a Pixel 3 image. It was like a lot more contrast, a little bit, I'd say like evenly kind of colored. I don't know. It seemed less like a Samsung photo than it looks like they're kind of getting going after Google more this year with the S10 from what I've seen, just like a few of the sample images. As far as the phone itself is concerned, I mean, again, this is just as another example of Samsung not really knowing what the hell they want to sell. It's like four different models. There's like an S10e, an S10, S10 Plus, and then an S10 5G. And then the Galaxy Fold, which is kind of like a phone they started working on, looks like a few weeks ago, and just kind of like pulled it out of the lab and did some fun like promo press, shoots for it. Just kind of seems like they're all over the place again. Like, what's up with Samsung, guys?
I would agree with you. It does feel a little, I mean, on two fronts. I mean, I think it's tricky to say which was even the right one for you without like getting into it, because there's the 5G variant, right? Forget the Fold. I think the Fold is just like a innovation halo product. No one's going to buy. It's just kind of cool that they have it. But like of the other ones, like which is the right one to get?
Yeah.
If you're like a normal person, like what, I guess it's whichever one is like the first to go BOGO for, right? Which will
Yeah.
probably happen eventually.
The Fold is an
Yeah.
exclusive, right?
Yeah, I
I think
mean
it is, yeah.
the Fold's a tech demo, but I would say, look, you got the iPhone XS, the XS Max. Can't even say it. It's terrible. That's the S10 and the S10 Plus, and the XR really is sort
Is
of
that the
the
E?
S10e, yeah, right. So it's very much
Same price
formulaic,
too. Yeah.
yeah. And I would say the 5G. I mean, they're only announcing that really just because they need to have a phone, in the market as some of these small individual 5G markets come to life. So they're just like, hey, we've got something covered here.
Probably something Verizon asked them to do so that the Fold could be on some carrier because no other carrier would touch it. And Verizon's like, sell a 5G phone on our network, and we'll take the Fold.
Well, I don't know if I
It's
mean,
an
has
exclusive.
Verizon even announced 5G? I mean, they're all saying it's coming, but there's nothing like official.
They
Don't think there are
launched
any
5G
cities.
last October. 5G in the home last October.
Oh, that's
Verizon
right.
did or AT&T
Verizon did.
did.
Verizon did. Verizon's the first network in the US to have real 5G in the marketplace. Last October it launched and it was 5G in your home to
Just
replace BIOS.
with a MiFi or type of
Yeah.
thing, but.
Exactly, to replace
Yeah,
BIOS. Yep.
it's just so early. It's next year. Everything's like really next year.
I
But
agree. I agree.
yeah.
so what do you guys think about the fingerprint sensor? I think it's, I mean, we've been talking about this for, a few years. This facial stuff works really well on the iPhone.
They both work well. Like I haven't used the in-screen thing. I know like Vivo that had that too. Obviously, no one's buying that phone either. So I think it's cool to have it in there. I have to say though, having been a, I guess I'm the most recent switcher to iPhone, the face thing is shockingly good. And the way that it like in flow kind of works without having to touch it is also pretty slick. So
Sure.
I would assume this is going to work well. 'Cause I know LG, but also their thing is touchless. It like uses like, I think like the veins in your hand is what it can see.
Yeah.
Well, similar to your face, which is also a pretty wild concept.
But they have to use a light. They have to, like, it shines a light. This one doesn't shine a light, so it can be used
Right.
anywhere, right?
Yeah. It looks
It looks
good though. I
better
mean,
than
yeah.
anyone else's in screen fingerprint sensor. I like the one on the side though for the E. I kind of
Yeah.
like that in the power button. That's pretty slick. I mean,
Yeah,
other
there's a
companies done
few
that.
laptops have that type of tech too, where you just sort of touch the side.
I think I had that on my Nextbit Robin, right? I had one of those, and I had
Oh
that. Yes.
my God. That phone was cool, man. That
Yeah, no,
was
I mean
cool. It looked cool.
it was a bunch of HTC guys, I think, that kind of jumped out,
Yep.
and it had funky colors. It was very squared off. Had some
Infinite storage.
which kind of like everyone kind of adopted, or like
Yeah.
Apple has something similar, and then they got bought out by Razer, I believe. And there's the Razer gaming phone is sort of built on that technology. What's interesting about the fingerprint sensor is that, the one downfall of the Pixel 3 is that it has the most ginormous notch on Earth. Having the fingerprint sensor in screen gets that screen real estate back, right? Because it's hidden within that. So I think it's kind of interesting. I did take a look at the device in store at like a T-Mobile store. It's pretty stunning in the punch hole. It's funny. They have, of course, engineered some backgrounds that have like a darker area up in the top corner, so you don't notice it as much. But saw an animation, I think, on The Verge where it was kind of cool, where they had a little circular animation. There was like an LED ring around the
Yeah, that's
camera.
slick. I saw
Yeah,
that.
yeah. So it's just like a pretty nice touch. Yeah, I don't think any of us are jumping back. I think the cameras are the things that we'll, probably see on an Apple phone, probably pretty similar
Leaked
in the.
images look like three or more, potential cameras. I guess everybody's following that same course.
Yeah, I
Yeah,
guess that.
Huawei started that, right? Huawei was the first to have three really good cameras by Leica or whatever.
Yeah, right. The
Last year.
Leica sensors. Yeah.
I guess the one other bigger thing that was very refreshing to me was I only played with it for a couple minutes, but their touch whiz has really grown up. The One UI it's very clean.
Interesting.
Very very soft icons, but everything's white. It only took what, 10 years, but it's finally like, all right, there's something interesting there.
It's
Can't
about
wait.
time too, because I think that not that it was ever at scale, but I think that the secondary market to like skin your phone and put things like Nova Launcher or others on has like really, it feels like that universe has gotten quite small. People are just more and more satisfied with what comes on it.
All the
Definitely.
toolbar icons are moved over, though. I mean, let's just start off from the top. So, like, the punch hole thing actually looks pretty nice. It's definitely less of an eyesore than even Apple's notch, or actually, my favorite notch up until this point was probably the Essential Phones notch. That was the best looking notch I've ever seen up until the one that, that Samsung announced earlier this week or whenever that was, or last week, sorry. But the thing that I don't think is cool is the fact that like all the toolbar icons are now shifted over to the left, because obviously
Sure.
they can't be over that hole punch. And then I'm also surprised, please correct me if I'm wrong since you saw it in person, is the bottom bezel on the S10 thicker than the iPhone 10 bezel?
I'm not quite sure. I didn't really completely scrutinize it that
Okay.
too hard.
It looks pretty
Yeah.
small, and I thought I had read that you can, in addition to just the shift, which is there, or the background thing that you mentioned, Joey, I can actually tweak the software itself to push down. You can expand that bar to like high a little bit more. So if you want to see a clean row of icons, I think it can do that. I mean, it's like
Oh.
a. I'm pretty sure that it can do that. I
That's
kind of
pretty
know.
good then.
I think it was one of like the leaked things. So I have to like really look more closely. Sort
Yeah.
of defeats the fact that it's there, right? But
Sure.
The in-screen fingerprint sensor, you can still see the lag. It's pretty noticeable. It's the best one I've seen, but there's still noticeable lag. It looks like on par with Face ID, but the power button touch, whatever, the power button sensor they put in is like instant. It looks very fast for
Interesting.
the 10E.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say also with Face ID, it's something that gets better over time, which is great. It does start to see you in different areas, and it starts to really learn who you are in so many different angles. Face ID on the iPad Pro is pretty spectacular. Just to have it on different angles. I mean, it's very, very, very good.
Did you pick up another one? I thought you returned it.
Yeah, so I was telling Jonathan that, yeah, I ended up buying a open box version, so I wasn't...
Shocker. Oh my gosh. Back again.
Well, we were talking about, there's this cool thing called Paperlike, which you, it's a screen protector, but it has some resistance to it, so it feels like a more paperlike writing experience.
The matte thing, it's like matte. Yeah, it looks good.
And it protects the screen. So yeah, Circo, I'm back.
Are you going to start drawing artwork for our podcast?
Maybe.
Jay Money
cover original. Image.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. For real.
Let's just close out. I thought it'd be cool to talk about an old phone, just a retro look back. And the phone that I picked this time around was the Nexus One, which was an HTC phone. It was very sort of almost like metallic. And the wild part about it was that it had a the ball. What's the ball called? To
track scroll. Ball.
Track ball. Yes. So I want to say one of the only devices that actually had a trackball. I don't recall any trackballs on anything else.
BlackBerry Pearl. They ripped it off. The BlackBerry Pearl.
There you go. I wasn't a BlackBerry user. I remember that phone pretty well when it came out. It was a pretty slick phone. I think most of us were enamored by the HTC design team. They always had really great phones. But the trackball was interesting. Plus it glowed, just like the BlackBerry, which is one of the cooler things that I always loved about just having like some additional elements where you could have notification blinking mm-hmm. and colors and very
colors. Yeah.
You could map it, at a specific apps. If your Jaiku conversation was coming in, you can have that green. But looking back at the design of Android at that point, it was pretty rough.
Yeah.
It was super crude. I mean, I actually, I was at Mobile World Congress the year that phone was due to arrive. And it was somewhere, I have a photo, I think I found, it was like behind glass. Like you could only touch it in private meetings. but it was definitely like, they like rammed it into that form factor. And then the iPhone was announced, which had no keyboard. And then that created like the scramble, for things to change very rapidly, which is pretty interesting moment in time because keyboards were all the rage, right? BlackBerry was like the dominant, method for input and certainly, communication. Like none of these apps that we use, the app we're using to record this, like stuff like that didn't exist.
Totally. Wait, Jonathan, you saw the original Android phone before iPhone was announced?
Yeah. It was at Mobile World Congress. Yeah, I was just coincidentally, I was at Mobile World Congress. I think that was 2006 or 2007. It was definitely before the iPhone
cool.
was shown. Yeah, it was whatever, 10 plus years ago.
Nexus One is a damn good looking phone. It still looks good. I'm looking at it right now on Wikipedia.
Yeah.
It was nine years ago. Holy crap, years ago.
I think it was probably. It came in like a neoprene pouch, which was pretty cool.
I had one for a little while. It didn't stick around, but I had one for a little while. It was very nice. Felt awesome.
I was like a Nokia nerd at this time, and then this thing showed up. I think I'm pretty sure I have this guy in the old phone drawer upstairs.
That's awesome. I do not have that phone. I do not have that phone. I do remember pretty vividly working at RGA, and Chapin, who runs the Twitter account, was always tweeting from that phone. He had it for a couple of years. It was his go-to phone.
Wow, I just Googled Nexus One, by the way. It's $1,000 on eBay. I mean, I'm missing out on the secondary market.
Jesus.
That was an OLED phone? And an OLED phone. Holy cow. That display on that thing was OLED.
Well, I mean, remember now, the Nexus program was like, so it was the flagship, right? I mean, just like the Pixel, right? It was supposed to be having new technologies and things for you to try out. So. Well, cool, man. Any other closing thoughts for this week?
I think there's a lot to absorb, sort of following Mobile World Congress, see what's actually real. And I think, Circle, you were talking about the image from the S10. I think stuff like that we'll have to see as people really get their hands on it, how it works. Like, I don't think anyone was able to touch any of the folding devices, which is kind of an interesting thing, because I think the Galaxy Fold is supposed to be sold in like 2 months. I'm not sure when the Huawei one is realistically going to be sold, but that's kind of sketchy if you can't, like, how real is it if you can't touch it?
You know, I think, Jonathan, you can maybe sacrifice your Nexus One and a couple other devices and, you know, put it into the, you know, Galaxy Fold, you know, just so we can all fondle it. It'd be interesting to see if actually even they carry it in a store or not. They'll probably, you have to go to the Samsung store or something like that to check it out.
There are actually Samsung stores coming now, I was reading too. I think 3 or 4 new stores.
Yeah, so yeah. One in LA. I think there's one in New York, Chicago, maybe. They've had that 837 place, which is pretty cool as like an experiment, but you could never buy anything there. So, which was like the craziest thing, because there's such a huge footprint in the meatpacking district. The rent for that little space, and they're making no money on it other than, you know, just having people come fondle their devices.
Well, the US headquarters is above that, you know, that store. Yeah, so that's like a showcase more than anything.
You're talking about the 8, what is it called? 837?
837.
Yeah. The one in West Village. Yeah. Whatever, meatpacking, exactly.
Yeah. Well, cool, man. Well, thanks, guys, for ranting and raving about this week's mobile news, and hope to catch you guys maybe next week or the week after.
Cool. Should we say our Twitter handles, or does that matter?
Oh, yeah. How do we follow you, Serco, on Twitter or Instagram?
I'm at Mobile Divide on Twitter, and then I'm at Serco, S-E-R-K-O, on Instagram.
How about you, Jonathan?
I am at Atmosphere. It's A-T-M-A-S-P-H-E-R-E, pretty much everywhere.
Cool. I am at J Money on Twitter and Instagram. Don't tweet too much. Very busy these days, but anyway. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in, and we'll talk to you guys soon.
Definitely. Thanks, guys. Later.
All right, later. Take care, man. Have a good one.
Bye.
All right. Bye.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.